Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Ken Jennings going to sit in with the news. Good sports coming after the news. We'll get to all that in just one second. First, I'll tell you about Manscaped. Bored at home during the lockdown? Why not play with your balls? What? Our sponsor, Manscaped, is here to make sure those balls are smooth and clean and quarantine. Gets the funk out as well. The only men's brand, Manscaped, dedicated to the below-the-waist grooming precision. Engineered tools for the family jewels. Got the perfect package 3.0. Comes with the lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, waterproof, cordless, skin safe, ceramic blade. Plus, they got the crop preserver, anti-chafing ball deodorant as well. Subscribers get a new replacement blade refill delivered every 3 months, and for a limited time, two free gifts as well at Manscaped. That is manscaped.com. Right, Dawson?
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Adam at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code Adam and make playing with your balls the best part of your day. Thanks, Manscaped.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So Missouri has become the first state to file a lawsuit against China. This happened on Tuesday, accusing the country of being responsible for the severity of the coronavirus pandemic and seeking damages to make up for, quote, the enormous loss of life, human suffering, and economic turmoil resulting from the disease. This is according to Fox News. The suit in the Eastern District of Missouri follows at least seven federal class action suits that have been filed by private groups, with one filed in Florida saying that China knew COVID-19 was dangerous and capable of causing a pandemic. And it also comes on the heels of 22 Republican lawmakers on Monday requesting that the Trump administration bring a case against China to the International Court of Justice for the country's actions.
If you work at the International Court of Justice, you better have a cool outfit. You know what I mean? Like a judge's robe, but tailored tight to show off the guns and quads.
Right.
It sounds fake, like something from Windy City Heat, like the president of show business.
Right. You should have like a giant golden gavel, and like you should have something cool if you work for that organization. Well, it's interesting. So, you know, I always kid Mark Garagos, like, who are you going to sue next? And I always kid, like, you're going to sue the Pacific Ocean and stuff like that. But, and a few months ago, I would have kid that Mark Garagos sue China.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, but we're kind of there now.
It's on the table.
And they've cost us and the world countless lives and money. There's some history here, and then there was also some negligence. And then the only question is not were they wrong, but how do you collect?
Well, it's got to be symbolic, right?
No, I think we owe them money. I think the way we collect is we don't give them the money, and we keep their money. So, and somebody can look into this, but I mean, you know, there's that whole thing. Like, remember, God, what was it? Was it Iraq? Where did we 5 years ago, we went and loaded up billions of dollars and brought it over, gave them their money back. Like, we have people's money here. That's their money, but it's on our soil or in the form of real estate or in the form of something. Right. So I think when we're talking about suing, we're talking about not giving them what's theirs. So it's basically, your neighbor borrowed your deluxe barbecue to throw a party, and then later on you shot his dog.
And now you're square.
I may be oversimplifying this, but it may be more nuanced. I don't know. But basically now we go, hey, I want my deluxe barbecue back, and the neighbor goes, fuck you, you shot my dog.
I want my dog back.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'll be on C-SPAN later tonight explaining some of the ins and outs of this nuanced argument. But I kind of think that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
or that's okay, what the plan is.
That's something. Because I thought, okay, yeah, like you said about Garagos, go sue China, see how that goes for you. But if it's not about extracting something, it's about keeping something, then that makes sense.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of people's, in the form of real estate and in the form of cash. I can't remember, Max Paddock can look it up, but we literally brought cash like back to Iran or Iraq. I can't remember, a few years back. Like, we returned their money. You know, it was on our soil.
It can be done.
The debt to China is $1 trillion.
Okay, that should do it.
So we got a bar tab with them, and one of the folks at the bar just got food poisoning from your mimosa. And then we shot his dog.
What time are you on tonight? Just so we can tune in to MSN.
Well, I think that's kind of what's going on. We're not going to pay our tab then.
Yeah. Okay. That totally makes sense. Well, the governors of Georgia, Tennessee, and South Carolina on Monday afternoon announced new plans to bring their state's economies closer to full force amid all this slowing from the outbreak.
And by the way, I was just looking here, but everyone's going to do it. Japan owes them more than we owe them.
Okay. So this will be interesting.
Who's not going to do this?
Yeah. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp said certain businesses, including gyms, hair salons, things like that, can reopen this Friday. Meanwhile, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee confirmed his state stay-at-home order, previously extended to April 30th, will end April 30th. And South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster said businesses previously deemed non-essential, like department stores, flea markets, florists, bookstores, music shops, they can reopen. Kemp said Monday that his state would expand COVID testing. Hospitals are in a position to resume elective surgeries. And we talked the other day, movie theaters in Georgia will be allowed to reopen, and restaurants can resume in-person dining on April 27th.
Does anyone know anything about the movie theater reopening? Is it the theater holds 200 and will accept 55 people?
Well, that's kind of what we talked about the other day. We just had played a clip of the Frida Cinema, I think, in somewhere in California on KFI, which is saying basically like you black out certain seats, so you will still be social distancing. They will see to it.
Yeah. So instead of 300 people, you have 80 people, and there's two seats,
and you wear a mask. Yeah.
I got to tell you, the goddamn seats are so big at theaters now, like full reclining, full big wide body seats. I mean, think about the seats we sat in as kids in a theater.
Yeah. Like folding chairs.
Chairs. Yeah.
The joke used to be, oh, so a tall guy sits in front of you, you can't see the movie.
Right.
That's not an issue anymore. The tiered seating and everything.
Yeah, the stadium seating. It's fantastic.
Right. It makes you wonder what movies they're going to go see, though, because nobody's actually releasing any movies right now.
That's
like,
a good point.
George would be like, hey, let's go see Peanut Butter Falcon. I guess it's still going.
It's still there.
That's interesting. That's point. What is coming out? I was devastated when I found out that Fast 9, or is it 10, got pushed back a year. But equally devastated that Tom Hanks Greyhound Sub Hunter World War II movie got bumped too, because I love a Fast and Furious franchise, but I love me a World War II Tom Hanks movie, especially Maritime Disaster and Wolfpack, German subs, the whole nine yards. I was pumped for that bad boy.
Well, you're the only one that I can think of besides Phil Rosenthal that could actually really enjoy that movie in their home. Otherwise, you're not getting the whole experience.
That's true.
Sitting in my movie theater right now. That's true.
Yeah. So
wait a minute. I got reclining seats.
Yeah. What are you complaining about?
I should recline. Let's see how that works.
It's almost like you're literally a millionaire.
Oh, that's sweet. That is sweet.
Damn, that goes back far.
Let me tell you guys the downside of being uber successful like myself.
Explain that to Ken.
I'll explain it. Ken, you listening, buddy? Pull up a stool. I'm going to recline in my Corinthian leather seats, and let me pass a little wisdom on to you. I built this theater. I paid for it and essentially built a lot of it myself, the risers and all that kind of stuff, did a lot of acoustic stuff. And I hadn't really been using it, but the other night, I said to my 13-year-old son, I said, boy, we're going to go down there and we're going to use that theater, and I'm going to show you one of my favorite movies, Master and Commander, Russell Crowe. Love that goddamn movie, and you're going to love it too, and you're old enough to love it too. And I said, we're going to watch it. We got a date tonight. Went down here, found it, fired it up. He got about 25 minutes into it, and he just looked at me, and he's like, can I leave? And I was like, to do what? He's like, I'm going to go upstairs and play video games on my telephone. And I'm like, Master Commander. And he just went, I just don't care. I don't care what happens to Russell Crowe. I'm not rooting for anybody.
Wow.
And I was like, God damn you. And then he got up and left. And then I just got up and left and went back in my den and watched TJ Hooker. And that was the end of the night.
Here's the problem with teens today. Everybody knows this. They don't care about the Napoleonic Wars. And it's bullshit.
You said it once, you've said it a thousand times.
I know. And also, you can't draw them into anything because there's a kid on the boat and he's the same age. You know, they had like 13-year-olds. It's always so crazy how young, what kind of peril they would take 11-year-old boys and 13-year-old boys and sort of put them, how they'd put them in harm's way. But there was no connection. He went upstairs, had a hot pocket, and that was the end. That was the end of our evening. So, sorry, Gina, go ahead.
Well, this story is actually making the real news, so I'm bringing it up and tempted to know what Dr. Zelenko thinks. Scientists and doctors are still learning a lot about the coronavirus, how it's transmitted, and at least two doctors in Australia are researching whether the virus can be passed through passing gas. During an Australian Broadcasting Corporation podcast last week, two doctors suggested that farting could dispel fecal particles into the air, which contain the virus. More research is still needed, and everyone is more than happy to let these two guys handle it. But if they prove that the virus can travel through passing gas, there is some good news, because they believe it may only be transmitted through, and I quote, bare bottom farting. So if you have your pants on, we're probably all going to be okay.
Well, first off, yeah, you don't have to worry about the ones that make a lot of noise, but the silent but deadly.
Deadly.
One,
oh,
the right word deadly. Deadly is right in the title.
Right there, man.
That's right.
Pants are just a face mask you put on your ass.
The more you know.
So there you go.
Well said.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I may have lost my will to live because I may have lost my love of farting. I used to really enjoy it. I don't know. Maybe it was when I had male roommates and one of them would like fall asleep on the couch on their back or something. You'd feel a good one coming on. He'd just fart on their head. Maybe it's that. Maybe there's something about not having a contemporary young male roommate to fart on that's made me kind of lose my edge.
If you did that to one of your family members, that'd be considered a hate crime.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Assault.
That's right. Child Protective Services.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. The fart humor is kind of up there with sexuality, and in that you would never know, you never know what package it comes in. Like, you know, Ken Jennings could be a complete horn dog in the bedroom. He could be a madman in the bedroom. Sure. You wouldn't think it to see him, but I'm sure he's a maniac in the bedroom, right?
Insatiable.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Like Dr. Drew laughs harder at farting than anyone you've ever met in your life. And you just wouldn't think it was that guy. You know, reaction either in the bedroom or to fart humor cannot be gauged by looking at you or your title or degrees on the wall. Yes.
Apparently. That's fair. Yeah. So during the NFL draft, which starts Thursday, fans will be able to boo Commissioner Roger Goodell. This is all thanks to Bud Light. So here's how it works. Bud Light is asking fans to record their boos on Twitter, then post that video and tag Bud Light with the hashtag boo the commish. Bud Light will be collecting these booze through Saturday, April 25th through that hashtag, and they'll donate $1 for the NFL Draft-A-Thon up to $500,000. So the Draft-A-Thon is a fundraising campaign designed to give aid to COVID-19 relief efforts. Goodell will be in front of his camera at home in his basement in Bronxville, New York, when the announcing first starts. The commissioner will hear the boos as he's announcing the selection, just like he would at a regular NFL draft.
Speaking of the draft, I was watching that Michael Jordan, was it The Last Dance?
Dance.
Last Waltz? Yeah. Think of the band's Last Waltz. Anyway, there's a part that I love. My favorite part about that entire doc, I mean, by far, I love all the highlights. I love all the behind the scenes. I love everything. But the part that I love the most is that Michael Jordan's mom refers to Michael Jordan's father as Mr. Jordan. That she refers to him as Mr. Jordan. She does not use his first name. She does not call him Mike's dad. She goes, Mr. Jordan always felt X, Y, and Z. I love that woman. I know
what's
she's single.
About?
Well, I don't know, but I like it. It's like a weird old school respect. I'm not sure where it comes from. I don't know where she got it. I think there's something to do. I think both his parents are like super disciplined people, and I don't know what the origins of it are, but
wasn't
I like
his dad
it.
Killed in his, wasn't his dad killed in his car over gambling debts?
He
was killed in his car. We don't know.
Yeah,
why,
I don't think it was gambling debts. I think it was just killed in his car by like kind of thugs. But it's been long enough, is what I'm saying. I'm saying black don't crack. Hey, you can do a lot worse than dating Michael Jordan's mom.
A lot worse.
You know what I mean? Like, it'd be a little tough at the beginning. You're like, I'm seeing a 77-year-old. What?
Wait for it.
Hold on.
It's Michael Jordan's mom. It'd go right from O to let me smell your dick. I got to be honest with you.
It's the number one question I ask if somebody tells me they're dating a 77-year-old. Like, the first thing I always ask is it Michael Jordan's mom? You got to know.
You've been disappointed so many times.
Yeah, poor. No, it's James Worthy. Oh. Court Ken was devastated. It's Michael Cooper's mom.
John Sally's mom.
Yeah, it's Rambis's mom. Okay.
I thought maybe someone who's mom. It was just Kurt Rambis in a wig.
Maybe it's someone who never played in the NFL. Who knows? Yeah,
Brian.
She calls him Mr. Jordan. Well, I don't know why I love that.
It's interesting that you said, wasn't he killed over gambling debts? Because we're literally just having this conversation the other night. I didn't know, and please correct me if I'm wrong, did Michael Jordan, and I'm wondering if they're going to get into this, have a bit of a gambling monkey on his back?
This is NBA lore. Talk to sports guy Simmons about this sometime. People, you know, talk about it like Jordan's dad was killed over his gambling debts, and then Jordan was kicked out of the league because he was gambling.
And
then
went to play baseball to recoup some expenses.
There's a whole conspiracy.
Understood. That's something I'm just learning for the first time.
Never proven, of course, but, you know, talked about.
Gotcha.
Yes, his dad was like driving, maybe at a rest stop or something, and somebody just killed him and maybe robbed him. And I can't remember all the details, but it was kind of like an Ennis Cosby, Bill Cosby's son kind of thing, where it's like he was just driving, got a flat, pulled over, and someone killed him. But I don't know the conspiracy part. Like, I'm not sure if they can connect it. I think they found the guy, and this was, I think, after Jordan's playing career, but maybe not much after.
No.
It was during?
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle?
It was after he won his second or third championship. We can look it up. I think it was mid-90s.
Wasn't in the middle.
Wait, when they caught the guy or when dad was killed?
No, when his dad was killed.
I'm almost positive.
Oh, okay.
We have to look it up to verify, but I'm pretty sure it was the mid-90s.
We'll look it up. Yeah, Chris says 1993. That is early. No?
It was after his second or third championship, yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
Interesting. And then they caught the guy, I guess, but what was the – well, we'll figure out the controversy in a second. Let me
– I don't have the details, but, you know, some NBA geek probably could tell you.
There might be some stuff online or something. Because, I'm not sure – at the time, they just played it off like it was a random killing and a random robbery, and they didn't know who the guy was. I mean, they didn't know it was Mr. Jordan. All right, let me hit LifeLock. Cybersecurity experts have seen 15 to 20% worth of increase in hacking. That's right. People are working at home, and they're not protected by their corporate software anymore that scans for danger. So you're vulnerable. Vulnerable people. It's important to understand how cybercrime is affecting our lives. Identity theft's another serious issue. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. You could miss certain identity threats if you're only monitoring your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock, which detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale. On the dark web, protect yourself. And if they detect somebody's getting into your information, they will send you an alert. It's 2020. We have to protect ourselves with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com for up to 25% off.
All right. Well, whatever info we find out about that.
So in 93, Jordan Sr. pulls over on a highway in North Carolina to take a nap. And these two guys come up to him. They see him in this red Lexus SC400 that Michael purchased for him. And they shot Michael Jordan's dad to death while he slept in the car. And then they stole the vehicle. And then they saw there were two NBA championship rings in there. And then they made some calls from Jordan Sr.'s cell phone. And that's how they were captured. And then when they were testified, they said they were just meant to tie up the victim. And one of the guys pulled the trigger for no reason.
First off, the scariest people on the planet are the people just stumble along and find someone and then go, so we killed him.
Right.
You know, it's like, wow. Like the part where you're poisoning your wife and trying to collect the insurance money, I'm all for it. Don't get me wrong. But the part where just
go nuts.
You're on board.
This guy's at a rest stop and he seems to be sleeping in his car. Why don't we shoot him? Like, wow. How much more dangerous could a citizen be than that? So hopefully these guys are in for a long time. Yeah, sad. But also, would you guys ever feel comfortable pulling over at a rest stop and taking a nap?
Done it in the middle of the night on the way back from Vegas, which is not what I would recommend. So yeah, me and two of my best friends, we were at the Bellagio and we were all wired up and we were like, well, let's beat the traffic. It's, you know, 2-3 in the morning. We're all awake. And the second we got past like Palace Station, we all just started like nodding off. And my friend was like, we got to pull over. So it was like literally an abandoned rest stop with a couple of, you know, 10 wheeler, you know, big Mack trucks parked next to us. And we're like, well, we hope this isn't how it ends, but we can't drive like this. And so we slept for like an hour and a half.
Adam,
I wouldn't recommend it.
You remember my dinky little pickup truck I had back when I was screening calls at Loveline?
Yeah,
Chevy S10, you know, short cab, whatever. And it was the end of the semester at USC. I packed up all my stuff to end of the school years. And I packed up all my stuff, stayed up all night packing. And then come 6 in the morning or whatever, I was like, well, I stayed up all night packing. Might as well just drive home now. And halfway up the 5, the Grapevine to the Bay Area, I literally nodded off for about 2 seconds and came to with a jolt. And at that point, I decided I had to pull over and take a nap. But I was in a pickup truck that didn't have a shell or anything, so I napped on top of my stuff because I couldn't guarantee that someone was going to take it.
I mean, if you're going to fall asleep behind the wheel and die, that's the perfect time to try sleeping at a rest stop. Because if you get murdered, it's a wash.
Yeah.
And if you don't, it's a nice surprise.
Gina, you probably would be safe, like you're and your friends at a rest stop, because any nefarious characters who are up to no good would probably spot you guys and be like, don't do it. Those police women are dressed like whores. It's a setup.
That's a trap.
It's a trap. There's no way three hot chicks would just come here and fall asleep.
That's the worst sting operation ever.
It's too easy. Yeah. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grad.
All right, let's see. Let's get off the virus stuff. Land O'Lakes, I know this story's been out for a few days, but we haven't talked about it yet. As it approaches its 100th anniversary, there's reports that Land O'Lakes butter is marking the occasion with a new look. They're getting rid of the American Indian Butter Maiden, which I did not know was her official title, and replacing it with trees. And we have the two pictures up for comparison. The American Indian woman depicted had a feather in her hair, was kneeling, holding up a container of butter. This has been on the package for, I mean, like 100 years. The logo had long been criticized as racist and stereotypical with North Dakota Representative Ruth Buffalo. She said, hand in hand, this image goes hand in hand with human and sex trafficking of our women and girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. I just want some shit on my toast. I don't want to take a deep dive into human trafficking, but okay.
That's solved. Now human trafficking is solved.
I would argue that people do more damage by planting ideas that would have never crossed my mind. I would have thought is, well, I guess there's an Indian population and over there, and she seems like a nice lady, and I want some toast.
And but what are we going to do think about Miss Girl or the St. Pauli Girl?
I don't think we have a problem with the sort of Anglo appropriation stuff. You know what I mean? I think Whitey can hang, you know, the Swiss Miss gal, the Ricola guy is going to be fine. The Swedish bikini team. You see, these people are untouchable.
I see. Okay.
We're going to focus. Look, at some point, we're not there yet, but at some point, the Jeep Cherokee is going to have to drop Cherokee and go with Jeep Oppressor or something. You know what I mean? Like Blue Eyed Devil or something, which I would buy if someone named an off-road vehicle the Blue Eyed Devil. But we're going to have to start stripping names of SUVs, right?
I see. Sure.
Well, I mean, if somebody called their SUV the Christopher Columbus in the 60s, you probably might have to get rid of that one. By now, right?
No, that would be the what's the new day called? Oh, the
Indigenous
Dodge
People's Day,
Indigenous People's Day, which doesn't have the same ring.
Mm. And of course, the aforementioned. Wait a minute, did you mention the General Lee?
During the game show.
Yeah, that car.
Yeah,
with the Dixie flag on the roof. That's
doesn't stand the test of time.
Problematic.
No, it does not. So they're going to get rid of the Land O'Lakes maiden.
Butter maiden.
Because it represents oppression or human trafficking and the sex trade?
Yes.
That's right.
Okay. See, my feeling is, I don't know. So we just go with some sort of innocuous something for everything. You know what I mean? Like we don't name a team the Warriors or the whatever.
The Try Real Harders.
Yeah, like it's just kind of everything just gets painted beige and then who cares? And then I don't know. I could make some positive arguments for being reminded of a culture or a tribe or something like that. I don't know why, you know, I don't know why it's, you know, Florida State, whether they're Seminoles.
Right.
All right. So they pick a fierce fighting or proud or whatever, and then they name their team after it. I don't know. It seems
there's
like
any number of teams that are named after, you know, the tribes, the Illini, the Utes, you know, they're just, it just
the Kansas City Chiefs.
The
that's offensive.
The Nebraska Corn Hustlers. I think
no,
that was a tribe.
No. Corn Huskers.
Again, I was 9 and from North Hollywood and had no idea what a husk was.
Right. Why would you?
But I did know from the canola oil commercial that their oil was made with maize. We call it, that's what you call corn. So I learned everything I needed to know about the plight of the American indigenous Indian by canola oil commercials, Land O'Lakes butter lady, and the movie Billy Jack. Between those three things, I fucking was an expert on those people.
Even pretty well-rounded.
Even canola oil is a corporate renaming. Did you know that? It was like a Canadian rebranding of rapeseed oil because nobody wants to think they're using rapeseed oil for good reason.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Vinny's mentioned that.
That is correct. That was on one of the flashcards that Ken was studying before they went to the championship round.
Honey, I'm looking over your flashcards. What's a rapeseed? Why are you studying it?
Well, like I do every weeknight, honey. Leave me alone.
All right, Gina, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina, Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, Geico. Do you rent? Do you own? Do you want to get insurance and bundle it with your automotive insurance? That's what Geico does. Makes it easy for you to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. Good thing, because you got a lot to do these days, and this is just one less thing to think about. Put them both under one umbrella at geico.com. Get a quote. See just how much you could be saving when you bundle at geico.com. Let me give some plugs to you, Ken. Trivia board game, Half Truth, available May 6th, and you can get it at all the regular retailers and as well as online, and you can go to studio71games.com and Walmart and Target and Amazon and all those places. Ken's podcast, Omnibus, is out as we speak. New episodes every Tuesday and Thursday on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And the website, ken-jennings.com. Thanks, Ken.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me. I don't usually enjoy finishing second place in trivia, but for attitude, I'll allow it.
Well, you go lick your wounds, take a nice sitz bath, and then bone up on speed squares versus hip valve squares, and we'll see you in the next round.
Fair enough.
Thanks, Ken Jennings. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Ken Jennings, Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, Bald Brian, and Gina Grad saying stay tuned for good sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace, we were talking yesterday about time wasters. And of course, like most people on the Big Blue Marble right now, we've decided to return to our oldest friend of them all, TV. TV and everything he has to show us, the outside world. You don't have to interact with other people as long as TV's there to tell you what our fellow citizens are up to outside our four walls.
Yeah, I think Gary, was it? I was saying Billy Bush was on Insider or something, but I guess I meant Extra or whatever the correction was.
Yeah, he left.
Completely different show. Completely different.
He left Access Hollywood. That was where the controversy was with Trump. And then when he came back, he's on Extra now.
That's right. I'm still not sure why, pardon the pun, Billy needed to be thrown under the bus for having a hot mic when he wasn't aware of it and having a presidential candidate before he was a presidential candidate talk shit about ladies. I'm not sure why Billy needed to be. It's like World War One, and the general gets some bad news via a carrier pigeon and then kills the carrier pigeon. I just feel like the carrier pigeon just brought you the bad news. We don't need to put him. We don't need to break his neck.
I really wish there were some hypothetical that would allow you. It doesn't, unless you are of the highest moral integrity, which I am not. You may be, Carolla. I'm not positive yet. Jury's still out on you. I am not. I have enough, you know, want people to like me in me that if I'm talking to you and I'm interviewing you, the premise is like, yeah, we're miking you and this celebrity up and you're going to have a conversation about stuff and you're rolling around. They start to say some off color stuff. You just be like, like just, you're not gonna be like, Hey, whoa, fella, inappropriate.
Yeah.
Your instinct isn't, yeah, you know, deep down, like, ooh, this is bad, but you don't do that in the moment, unless, again, like you're running for mayor of Mount Pius, would you be like, hold it right there, bub?
Yeah, and also there's a context, which is he knows he's not bragging about sexually assaulting women in the streets of Manhattan. He's saying, I'm so popular, I could do this. But it's not a, it's like saying, I'm so popular in this town, I could murder the mayor and no jury would convict me. And then you go to the mayor and go, there's a plot against your life. It's like, that's not what I'm saying. It's a it's hyperbole. That is saying.
I don't know if I agree with that. I agree with the analogy you're making. It's very Brad Wesley. Like, why don't we go to the cops? They say to
well, Dalton, no. Like, here's my
evidence. He owns the cops.
No. I get it. It's all been spun to say that's what he's saying he's doing. But there's a couple of things. Look, it's still in my scenario. It still makes him a pompous ass. He's saying I'm so popular, I could do this and get away with it. Then some people might say, no, he's bragging about doing it, which is different. But I would say this. My proof is when he's on the bus and they're talking about the blonde out there, he's like, Billy, I may just kiss her. I might not be able to stop myself from kissing her. I may just kiss her. I can't control myself in front of a beautiful woman. And then he goes and meets her and like shakes her hand. So I'm saying that in of itself is one thing he's saying to Billy Bush. It's already hyperbole. Like, I do this, I'm going to do that, but he didn't do it. See, he can still be a pompous ass though. Don't get me wrong. So the point is Billy Bush is back. God bless him. I miss the man, but, in the act of, selflessness. And, I don't like to use myself as a point myself out as a hero, but I will say that when I made my first documentary, it was a Paul Newman racing doc. And I thought, oh, okay, so here's the format. I own all these Paul Newman race cars. I race all these Paul Newman race cars. And then what we'll do is at the beginning, we'll show one of the cars being rebuilt, one of his championship cars. And then at the end, we'll show me driving it at the Rolex Historics at Laguna Seca and blah, blah, blah. And so then the doc had me in the doc. I was interviewing everybody and it was a back and a forth. And kind of started with like, hi, my name's Adam Carolla. You know, Paul Newman was more than an actor, blah, blah, blah. And then at some point when we finished the doc, Nate, who I made the doc with, showed it to a friend of his who I don't know, but Nate respects him. And he said, so I talked to Nate the next day and I said, what'd your friend think of our documentary? And he said, well, the guy said, with you in it, meaning me, it's a TV show. And with you out of it, it's a documentary. It's a film. And I was like, okay, well, let's get me out of it. And we just chopped every single bit of me out of that doc. There are a couple instances where you can hear me say, ask the question or something, but we had two cameras, one on me and the other on the person I was interviewing the whole time. It was like kind of back and forth, completely removed myself from that doc based on one person saying it'd be better without him. Well, he didn't say it'd be better, but he said it's like a TV show with him.
I hear you. It is. That's an interesting kind of documentary, too. That's what Michael Moore typically does. Like, it's not a straight documentary because he insinuates himself into it and does little, thought experiments on human beings and everything. Yeah, that's an interesting distinction. I wanted to say, Ace, that, as everybody belly aches, listen, this sucks for everybody, this quarantine. Nobody likes it. I want sports back as much as anybody, obviously. But this thing of like that, I don't want to genuflect to ourselves too much for being heroes, for staying in our house and watching TV in 2020. And forget about, you can talk about, yeah, if this were in the 19th century, what would we be doing? Like, how many books would anybody be willing to read? Like, there would be nothing to do right now. But forget about that. That's too hard. That's intangible to us, probably. I asked Gary and Kaylin to pull some TV promos from like the 1980s, just to show how much better off we are in 2020 than we would have been if this would have happened a quarter century ago.
Oh, my God.
Well, we would have had 3-4 channels to watch. Go ahead there, Gary. Play what would have been your options on the TV if this had happened just a couple decades ago.
And Gary, sorry, before you hit play, look up the opening to the Wild Wild West.
Ooh, with my favorite.
Yeah, but there's probably something you don't remember from the illustrated or animated opening from the Wild Wild West. Robert Conrad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch the beginning of the Wild Wild West. Smoking a cigarette. Wouldn't have him smoke a cigarette. There's a gun. Cigarette, bad guy. Karate chops, the bad guy. Uh-oh, someone's pulling an ace out of their boot. He shoots them. Look how he handles the ladies over here. Shoots them. He's quite a ladies' man. Look at him. Hey, darling. Grabs her, forces a kiss on her, then punches her in the face. His work is done. I was watching that today, and I was like, he grabbed this woman, he sexually assaulted her, and then he physically assaulted her. He punched her. He knocked her out. Now, to be fair to James West, she'd pulled a dagger out and was trying to stab him, but he still kissed her and then clocked her in the face. I just don't feel like in today's climate that would work.
Meet your leading man of this popular TV show, America. He's cool, right? Socking ladies. It's funny because I've been watching quite a bit. It's been running on cable, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I love.
Yes.
I had remembered that there were a lot of controversies coming out of it. And one of them was, so I dug up because I wanted to see what the controversies were. And one of them was violence against women, because in the climactic scene, Leonardo DiCaprio torches the woman in the pool,
right?
And Brad Pitt throws the can of dog food and hits the other woman in the face. And it's like, Tarantino hates women. And, right. And why would he have those guys do that to those women? Because the characters they're playing are murderers. What do you mean? Why? Like, they're there to kill them. What do you mean? Like, that's politically incorrect now? And Quentin Tarantino, who made a whole movie called Kill Bill about a woman who was hanging on the edge of life, who then sought and completed revenge on her murderous ex-boyfriend. Like, that seems like a championing of women movie in my book. He hates women because the characters portraying Manson's gang get killed. Like, I mean, that feels a little bit much to me.
Wild Wild West lights up, the character lights a cigarette. That's the first thing he does, is light a cigarette, and the last thing he does is cold cock a woman. All right. Simpler times.
Different days. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me hit LifeLock here. Cybersecurity experts have estimated and seen about a 15 to 20% increase in hacking. Working at home, you're probably not protected. Corporate software that it doesn't, this corporate stuff will scan for dangers, but working from home, you are vulnerable. It's important to understand how cybercrime is affecting our lives. Identity theft is another serious issue. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. You could miss certain identity threats if you're only monitoring your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock, which detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your info being hacked, they will send you an alert. Protect yourself. It's 2020 with LifeLock, right, Gary?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com for up to 25% off.
And, you know, if you use that, you can avoid any, you know, kind of like Manson family people coming into your house and then you being charged with being a jerk to women because they come in with knives and guns pointed at you. So, yeah, anyway, and we'll get to that clip that I wanted to play for you, a couple of old 80s TV show clips for you to show you how we're better off, at least, than we would have been 30 years ago. But until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, good sport. Out. Good sport.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can watch this episode at youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and subscribe to Carolla Classics with Superfan Giovanni and Chris Lagomana. Get it at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, everybody. I'm Rob Cesternino from Rob Has a Podcast here on Podcast One. Normally, I talk about things like Survivor and Big Brother on Rob Has a Podcast. But today, I am going to talk about something that's going on with Major League Eating, that there is going to be a big Bet Online Quarantine Challenge, which is coming together in the next couple of days. And I'm here with Dave Mason from Bet Online and competitive eater Eric Badlands Booker. Dave, can you tell us a little bit about how BetOnline has partnered with Major League Eating for this quarantine challenge?
Absolutely. I mean, everybody's locked in their houses eating food. I know I'm eating my fair share right now, so we thought it'd be a perfect match to bring all our players a great competition. You know, bring eight of the best athletes, best eaters on planet Earth all together. Our quarantine challenge is going to consist of four rounds. Friday night will be round one, where all eight competitors will be eating 2 pounds of sliced bologna. That will determine the rankings. And for the Sunday's quarterfinal, which is round two, where they'll be eating a family-sized tray of Oreos, about 48 Oreos and a half gallon of whole milk. From there, we'll go on to the semifinals, which is next Tuesday, the 21st of April. That's round three. 1.5 gallon of baked beans will be consumed by the four competitors. And then on the Wednesday, next Wednesday, is the championship. Round four, 10 ramen cup of noodles. So we have the betting lines all set for all these guys. Joey Chestnut, everybody knows Joey Chestnut. He's a plus 100 favorite. The 12-time winner of the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Competition. Matt Stone, he's right behind him at plus 400. Darren Breeden, plus 500. My man Eric Badlands Booker is 20-1, so a $10 bet on him would net a $200 profit if Badlands has his hand raised next Wednesday night.
Okay, so we are fortunate enough to have Eric Badlands Booker here with us. Badlands, how are you preparing for the quarantine challenge?
Well, I'm just, you know, using my years of experience, you know, eating several foods, you know what I'm saying, staying hungry, staying focused, you know, getting my ingestion engine prepped, you know, getting my, you know, incisors, my canines and my molars ready to grind through this food, you know what I'm saying, you know, and just, you know, just, you know, doing the four tenets of competitive eating, you know, getting my stomach capacity up, getting my strategies, getting my stamina, you know what I'm saying? I'm running in place and doing, you know, jump rope and all that, and just getting my mind focused. You know, I'm trying to, you know, mind meld with the foods, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like I'm Mr. Spock in Star Trek, so ready to go.
Yeah, Badlands, can you tell all of the people on Bet Online why they should be putting their money on you?
Oh yeah, because you know I have plus 20 years experience in competitive eating, and you know Badlands is the baddest man on the planet. Okay, he's the one that's always hungry and focused when it comes to the table. You know, saying, you know, your best bet is Badlands Booker. You know, what I'm saying, and it's like, I mean, who else you going to bet on? Okay, but the big man, the bad man, Eric Badlands Booker. Enough said.
All right. Dave, I'm convinced.
Yeah, of course, man. Always take the long shot. I'm not going to be putting my money on Booker. Like he says, experience, that counts for a lot in this game. And it's going to be, you know, four different contests. So usually these guys do one contest and they're done. But, you know, experience has to come into play when they're doing all four different contests within such a short period of time. And just to let everybody know, they can watch these on Major League Eating's YouTube channel. So once again, that's Friday night at 7, Sunday night at 7, Tuesday night at 7, and Wednesday night at 7. So that's four nights of entertainment while we're all cooped up in our house.
And until the tournament starts, is there anything else going on BetOnline, Dave?
Oh, there's always stuff going on. You know, we have the full action, the casino and the poker room are they're setting record numbers over there as everybody's sitting in their house looking for some action. We got these sports sims that are popular. Ping pong, Russian ping pong's huge right now. So we got all sorts of good sports still going on. But without a doubt, this quarantine eating challenge, this is going to be the highlight of the week and the week to come. And that'll be a nice segue into next week's NFL draft. So we're keeping busy here at BetOnline.
All right, so follow the tournament over on MajorLeagueEating.com. And, of course, you can check out everything that's going on for the Major League Eating tournament and much more over at betonline.ag. And Badlands, I understand that you are also going to be taking on a couple of the other competitive eaters, Matt Stoney, Joey Chestnut, in a live stream poker tournament as well, the night before the tournament that people can watch and hear you guys talk about stuff. Are you ready for the poker tournament?
Yeah, I'm always ready. You know, I always have a poker face, you know, got my poker face on, and it's like, you know, I'm ready to, you know, try my hand at Joey Chestnut and Stoney, and, you know, let's just see who has the best cards on the table at the end.
Yeah. Is there a lot of trash talk that goes on amongst the other competitive eaters?
Yeah, there's a few, you know what I'm saying, but you know, it's like everybody knows, you know, we know what time it is, you know, everybody knows that Badlands has the experience, you know, Badlands has the heart, you know, Badlands is always hungry and focused, so, you know, they can say what they want, as long as they spell my name right, and we just bring it to the table, because it's like, you know, actions speak louder than words, pretty much.
All right, so we're looking forward to seeing more about the quarantine challenge over on MajorLeagueEating.com. And don't forget to go on over to betonline.ag to place your wagers, play poker, and do much more. Don't forget about that sign-up bonus as well when you use the promo code PODCAST1 over on betonline.ag. Dave Badlands, thank you so much. I'm Rob Cesperino. Thanks for listening.